Did you check your mic?
Check, one, two, check.
Okay, cash. Let me bring you in. Okay, good, okay. Good.
Yeah, the mic works.
Okay, mine's working too. I was getting some sort of a noise.
What kind of noise were you getting?
Like that. Okay, we're under control. It's over. Let's talk.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay. Hi. I'm Mike Juhas.
That's Mike Juhas over there. And,
and Eric Corley.
Oh, Eric Corley over here. Hey. Those are the people you're listening to right now.
That's us.
The program is the voice of
Southern Connecticut.
No.
Long Island.
Long Island, because we're not in Southern Connecticut. That's why I knew it wasn't the case.
Yeah, but they can hear us. We're on
Long Island. They can hear us all over
they
the place.
They certainly can.
Boats out at sea on their way to distant shores, or coming back from distant shores.
Coming to near shores.
Yeah. People all over the place. Airplanes can hear us.
That's right.
I've estimated that our first show right now has reached Neptune.
No, I wouldn't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, I think it's
radio
past
waves
Neptune.
Go. Oh, you think it's past Neptune?
Yeah, it's been over a year.
So how far would you say it is? How far is a light year?
Way, I think our first show is probably way, way past Uranus.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Is that so? Well, the nearest star is about 10 light
sorry,
years away.
Sorry about that sophomore joke, but
according to Joel Block and Stardate. The nearest star is about 10 light years away, I think.
No.
No?
The nearest star is the sun.
I don't mean that.
You didn't say that.
But you know I don't mean that. So anyway.
Anyhow.
Why are we talking about this? There's no point to it.
Because we don't want to answer the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, don't answer the phone then. I don't care. We have a lot of interesting things tonight. Isn't that correct, Mike?
That is correct, Eric.
And one of them involves something that we were doing last week, which was kind of a debate, I guess you'd call it.
Oh, yeah, having Steve Speck play the piano.
Yeah, would you like to do that again, Steve?
No.
Don't beat around the bush. Well, you really, you know, if you want to, by all means. But we got into sort of a raging fight about something.
The big argument.
Do you remember what it was, Mike?
No.
I don't either.
Steve, come down to the microphone. What was it about?
Why me? You explain it. You talk to the guy.
Okay. Well, we got into a fight about a particular character in a comic strip. Namely, the comic strip was Peanuts. And the character we were fighting about was who was the character on the back of the bicycle who was riding back and forth from the library with his mother. Was it a character called Linus, or is it a character called Rerun? Well, tonight we have the answer for you. In fact, not only do we have the answer, we have an interview with the creator of that strip, which we'll be getting to in just a few minutes. Isn't that right, Mike?
It certainly is. 246-7901 is our phone number.
That's correct. And it's a nice one, too. I like it.
And the area code is 516.
Now, we're not asking you to call us. We're just showing you what our phone number is because we're so proud of it.
It is a nice number. It has a certain special charismatic ring to it.
246-7901.
Pardon that terrible pun. It's got a ring to it.
I like it. I could say it all night.
That's all right, Mike.
Yeah.
You do all right sometimes.
In fact, we had a problem last year with some of our jocks. They became so proud of their home phone numbers that they were just saying those over and over again.
Oh, like, Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who in particular. Maybe Gary Pecorino was one.
You know,
it's like 480-5625, you know, uh-huh. Something like that. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
They just kept saying it over and over and over again.
480-5625.
Yeah, I don't know if that was it. That might not be it. So don't call that now. You might wake someone up.
Yeah.
Yourself.
I think Lewis Hexheimer used to give his home phone number out, too.
Really?
Yeah, 246-7901.
Oh.
Because there was a time he was living in our transmitter room, remember?
Oh, yes, that's right.
I don't think that's the transmitter phone number, though.
No, it's not.
No, it's not, but it's close enough.
We'll be back with Charles Schultz.
And a whole bunch of other things, like the tripod family.
And
the crick in my throat.
Other interesting things. Not only that, Steve Specht is back tonight.
You're going to have a little contest, aren't you?
A little trivia contest involving Charles Schultz material. What do you think?
Well, I was under the impression that this is a regular trivia contest, but I did manage to dig up some good questions in
We can go into other things afterwards, perhaps. But I prepared some things on the characters. We'll see who
is
comes.
Is this between us, or are the listeners going to call in, or maybe...
Well, why don't we have the listeners call in when we're stumped? Does that sound fair?
Well, the person who asked the question has to know the answer, but if the other person gets stumped, how about that?
That's what I mean.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Okay, so we'll be back in a few minutes.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Bicycle is called Rerun, and I think I'm positive I used that name for the character before the television character ever came into being on that series. It all started because I was driving to the studio one morning and I saw a mother riding along on her bicycle with this little tiny kid on the seat behind, and I thought, I wonder what goes through the mind of a little kid riding on a back of a bike like that, where he's carried around all day long from place to place. He doesn't have any choice about where he's going, and what do you think about
it? Yeah.
And it kind of opened up a whole new field of ideas. Lately, I've run out on them, so that's why he hasn't appeared very often.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because Rerun is probably the least seen character, and I was wondering if he was still around at all.
Well, he's around in the background someplace, but this happens when you do a comic strip. You're always searching for new ideas in different areas, and some things work out and other things don't. And sometimes a character comes along in a story that you're working on, and suddenly you find you've got somebody that provides you with some ideas and some new thoughts. So the character, whether it's a little boy or a little girl, a dog, a bird, or what, it just sticks around and is with you forever. Other times you find that the character just doesn't seem to work that well, so... You just let him drop.
Well,
what characters have you had that experience with?
Oh, I had a girl named Charlotte Brown a long time ago who only lasted a few days. And then, of course, I had the girl with the naturally curly hair named Frida. And she was in there quite often, but I don't think distinctive personalities like that work out too well. Pigpen is a perfect example, too, because if the idea doesn't have something to do with his being dirty, then there's no sense in him being in the strip. So those characters just don't appear that often.
And also, I noticed in the past few years, I haven't seen Violet or Patty around as much.
No, they were just straight men, and if I happen to meet a character that does not have a unique personality like some of the others, then I think it's misleading to have them in there.
Uh-huh. So do you see it being important to have such straight characters that don't really have anything outstanding, just to form a sort of background?
Oh, yes. There are times when you definitely need a character like that so that you don't lead the reader off in the wrong direction as the, say, a Sunday page begins. If you have Pigpen in the very first panel, then the reader expects something to happen with his being dirty. So he makes a poor straight man. He just shouldn't be used in those instances.
That's true. Although I believe there have been several instances where Pigpen has been in the strip and yet not a mention has been made of his dirtiness. He's just sort of a character. And we just sort of take it for granted. And for someone looking at the comic for the first time, it might seem kind of odd.
Yeah.
But to get used to them after a while. You also have, you used to have anyway, especially on the Sunday pages, masses of characters congregating on the pitcher's mound, say, discussing philosophy. I haven't noticed that as much recently. Is there a reason for that?
I just haven't been able to think of anything. I'd be glad to do one today or this afternoon if I could think of something, but I just haven't. So things go in cycles. Your mind works in different directions according to what you're doing at the time, what is going on in your own life. And sometimes you look back and you discover you haven't done something in a long while, and then you think about it. All of a sudden, you get a whole host of ideas.
What would you say is the most inspirational thing you've had the most success with?
Well, I think Snoopy's being a World War I flying ace has provided more ideas outside of Charlie Brown's playing baseball. I've probably done a lot of those. Linus and the Blanket appeared a lot in the early days. Lately, I haven't been able to think of much of that because Linus himself has changed considerably.
Yes.
I just think Snoopy's flexibility has been very good for me. He can go in so many different directions that whenever I'm really hard up for ideas, all I have to do is think of him either writing a novel or taking his Eagle Scout troop out on a hike or something like that, and I can usually come up with something.
Yeah. You mentioned the characters changing over the years. Do you foresee any sort of changes in these characters? Are they going to get older, or is anything new going to happen to them?
Well, they'll never get any older, that's for sure.
You think it would lose its effect if they got any older?
Oh, yeah, but just comic cartoons characters simply do not age. The only characters who ever aged in the comic strip were those in Gasoline Alley, and that in itself was a very useful gimmick for them. In Blondie, the two children had grown up to be teenagers, but their growth has been very slow. So it's just not something that's done in comic strips.
How about strips that take on sort of a political satire, like, say, Doonesbury? Their characters change quite a bit. Do you think they're successful?
Do you think they change? I don't think they change.
Well, they go. Actually, I guess they don't really change as far as the characters go, but certainly the circumstances they go through.
Oh, well, yeah.
The number of characters there are.
Yeah. Well, you know, Little Abner used to have hundreds of characters that came and went, but that was the theme of Little Abner. It was always the introduction of some fantastic new character that had come to Al's mind. But a strip like mine doesn't depend on new characters so much as it depends on getting to know and appreciate the people that are in the comic strip. And I think this is one of the valuable things about comic strips is they're something like long-running radio shows. The characters become part of your family, and you look forward to being with them every day.
There was a stage where the characters in your strip looked completely different than they do now. They look much younger and tinier. When did it change to the way they are now? It seems that they've been in that stage for quite some time.
Well, I think if you'll examine any comic strip in its early stages, you will discover that the characters look totally different from the way they did later. If you look at the early Pogo strips, you'll discover that Albert Alligator was actually a very evil-looking alligator when the strip first began, and Pogo was not half as cute as he became later on. This happens in all strips. Mammy and Pappy Yoakum used to be almost 6 feet tall. Pappy gradually shrank down, so he was only about 3 feet tall. It's a matter of the artist developing his style and learning to work with these characters. It's usually totally without the artist's knowledge. You're not even aware of the changes that take place until you do see a reprint book, and suddenly you discover your character has gotten a little bit taller or a little bit shorter. So you're just drawing it the best you can each day.
So when did you first start drawing Peanuts characters?
Well, Peanuts began in the fall of 1950. I think it started about the first week of October. We had 9 newspapers then, and now I think we have close to 2,000. Peanuts runs in more newspapers than any other comic strip in the history of the business.
That's amazing, and it's always on the top of the page, too.
Yeah, a lot of papers seem to feature it that way, yes.
You've been doing it for over 30 years now. Is there a book that's a collection of everything that's ever come out?
Well, there's definitely not one book that contains them all, but the whole series put out by Holt Reinhart and Winston should contain almost all of them.
How do you personally feel with the way the strip has been going, say, in the past 10 years?
I'm very proud of it. I know there were people that predicted that I had leveled off years ago, but I think the strip is better now than it ever has been, and I think you'll find that we still rate number one in the popularity polls, and I think I've broken a lot of new ground in the last 10 years. I think I've done things that no one else has ever done, and I think in the television shows we've also done some things in animation which no one else has ever done. I think the characters in the animated shows become real little people, and I don't think you're even aware that you're looking at cartoon characters when you're watching these shows, which brings to mind something that we're going to be doing and which will be shown sometime around the first week in November. The air date hasn't been set, but we're doing something in an animated television show that no one has ever done before. And I keep telling the producer this is going to make us or break us.
Could you describe what it's going to be a little more?
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody what it is, but it's Charlie Brown is telling his sister what happened when he and his friends were on their way back from where they had been in France. They were in France as exchange students in the movie we did called Bon Voyage, Charlie.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, she wants to know how they got back and what happened. But he starts to tell them what happened, and about one-third along the way in the show, it takes a turn and goes into a direction that no one else has ever tried to do in an animated cartoon.
Wow. That certainly sounds like something to look forward to.
The animators are going to take all summer working on it, and I have high hopes for it. If it works, it's going to be great. If it doesn't work, it'll be a disaster.
Yeah, well, of course, that's how you make progress, by totally going in a different direction.
Yeah, you have to do things that other people can't do with their characters, so you might as well try it.
Well, I wish you the best of luck on that, and I also look forward to, what is it, November that'll be coming out?
Sometime in the latter part of October, first part of November, yes.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us.
I appreciate your calling.
Say hello to Charlie Brown and everyone for me.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Well, that was taped earlier this week. Conversation with Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts. And I must say, I was in awe just realizing I was talking to someone who was such a major part of my life.
And everybody reads them.
Yeah.
Except me.
Well, you should. I bet you've read some of it without knowing it.
Yeah, once or twice, but I generally just skip over that as well as skip over Archie.
I stop at Archie just, I don't know, just as a sadistic type of thing, you know.
I always look at the last picture, yeah. And he's always got the startled face with the drops
with
the water going
off.
Never
yeah.
fails to be on the last one.
In Archie's face, how come there are plaids?
Plaid?
Well, little squares. If you on the side of his head, I don't know what that's supposed to be. Is he wearing netting or something?
I think it's the reflection of the window. You know how they do that.
Wow. Yeah, but his face shouldn't be all that shiny. I know he is a teenager, and they always have complexion problems. But not that it would be shiny to reflect a window. I don't.
It'd be funny if he really broke out one day. Whoa! Yeah. But Archie's father is a real revolutionary. I don't know if you know that, but he keeps spouting out these things about taxes and senators and things like that. Every now and then he says something that's really, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to overthrow the government or something.
Oh, boy. Then he might get his driver's license revoked.
That's right.
Yeah.
In New York State, anyway.
That's true.
But while we talk about Archie, we're supposed to be talking about Peanuts here.
Well, we were talking about the strips that Mike reads there.
Oh, what else do you read? Do you read Doonesbury?
Occasionally.
How about BC?
Oh, yes.
That's always good.
BC and Wizard of Id, of course.
I don't think BC is always good. I think they repeat themselves tremendously.
No, I don't know.
Especially when they have these little things with rocks, you know.
The rocks that say things.
Yeah, the rocks that say... I mean, it gets kind of boring after a while.
The Curse Exchange series was good.
Yeah, it was good.
That's true. I think he has one leg, the poet, that he'd be writing out a poem, and it would sound pretty good until the last frame, and it was always a zinger at the end.
Yeah, I remember him.
No, you don't.
I do. No, the guy with one... you know,
can't remember his name, though.
No, you're right, I can't. And I also... Now, I'm gonna get help from this on this from Eric, but I like Mama.
Oh,
well, you know,
that's repetitive.
Yeah, that's very repetitive.
I didn't expect to get help from you.
And it also presents a very negative view, I think. Of parent-child relationships. Like, I mean, that woman is a constant nag. She wakes people up in the middle of the night just because she had a bad dream about them. I mean,
the kid's a bum, too, you gotta admit.
Yeah, Francis.
Guy never gets a job. He can't hold down a job.
Francis has the most character, I think, of any of them.
Yeah.
I do.
That's true.
The other kids are cool, too, you know. But.
Okay, I'll try to speak to Mel Lazarus next week.
Mel Lazarus?
Yeah, he's Mel Lazarus, the guy who draws that. In fact, I even have an original drawing from that strip.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
I once met the guy that does Archie in Westbury.
Who, Bob Montana?
Yeah.
Well, he died, you know.
Wait a minute.
He died several years ago.
No, I met him.
Oh, yes.
Well, if he died, how could he still be doing it?
Must have been an impossible.
No, they have other people doing it now. Bob Montana was the guy who created it.
Well, then I must have met someone else who was doing it because...
How long ago was this?
A few years ago.
It might have been before he died.
I don't think so, because this guy was pretty young.
Then it couldn't have been before he died. I remember reading he was skiing in Colorado.
He must have been young at some point before he died.
Yes. But not when you would have met him.
All right, enough of this.
But no, he was skiing in Colorado or something, and he had a heart attack, and he just died or something like that.
Hmm. And then the person who did Blondie died, and his son took over, and you didn't really notice any difference in the
Right.
In the
did you notice any difference when Frank Johnson took over Boner's Ark?
I didn't know anybody took over Boner's Ark.
Yeah, it used to be this guy Addison, and he'd always make remarks about having his name in his signature in the drawing somewhere.
He always would make remarks?
Yeah, he would. You know how they always sign their work?
Uh-huh.
Well, he would from time to time make a remark about the way that says Addison right in the corner there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sort of like the guy in the New York Times who hides Nina's. I guess you're not familiar with
that. Yeah, I remember that guy. I don't remember his name. It's just, that's his, like, niece or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think so. In the Arts and Leisure section, it's usually on the front page, these funny caricatures, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there's always a number at the bottom by his name, sometimes 3, 7, 19 sometimes, and that means that's the number of times the word Nina is spelled out somewhere in the pictures.
Huh.
And you have to go find them, and it's pretty hard sometimes.
No, I never knew that.
Sitting in people's faces and their teeth, you know, and anything.
Huh.
But that's another interesting...
What's the prize you win?
You don't win anything except self-satisfaction on a Sunday afternoon. The cartoons I really like, though, are the New Yorkers ones.
Oh, yeah,
New
like ones. William Hamilton in them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think they're the funniest.
Yeah.
How about Garfield?
I never really could get into Garfield.
That's the cat, right?
That's the cat.
Yeah. Well, explain to me one thing. Now, I said this once before, but I can't understand it. There was one strip where he didn't do a damn thing. He just sat there looking at you. All three frames. Well, actually, he was sleeping or something. All three frames.
I remember one of them where he stared, and at the last one they said something about the early morning stares or something like that, or...
No, this one, he didn't say anything, didn't move, didn't do anything. And I was trying to figure out, they're paying this guy to do this? To draw a picture of a cat and multiply it by three?
Yeah.
Four.
Well, I mean, you know, bring back, what'd they take out to put that in?
Miss Peach, maybe?
No, Miss Peach.
That was an old one.
Miss Peach was another one by Mel Lazarus. And
that's right, I thought it was familiar. The people were really short.
Yeah, them. Yeah, and they had big heads.
Ira, maybe?
Ira Brahm.
Is
on Miss Peach. No, you know, that's no, very
Ira was another separate strip.
Oh, really? But there's an Ira long character time. On Miss Peach. Miss Peach had been carried here for the longest time. And then, remember when Long Island Press went out?
Yeah, I remember it was in... No, it wasn't in there, was it?
No, Mama was in Long Island Press. And so Newsday took a lot of the cartoons from the Long Island Press. So they ended up having both Miss Peach and Mama from Mel Lazarus. So after a while, I guess they figured, well, this is too much duplication of this guy. So they dropped Miss Peach, right? And from there, I had to go to my aunt in Philadelphia who read the Philadelphia Bulletin, and she would clip out the Miss Peaches for me and send them up.
But now...
2 weeks ago, the Bulletin closed, right?
So you're in a fix.
I'm in a fix. So if I speak to Mel Lazarus, I'm going to ask him where I can go to get my daily dose of Miss Peach.
Anybody in Long Island or Connecticut area knows of a place where you can still read Miss Peach on a daily basis.
Yeah, give us a call.
Old newspaper. Give Mike a call.
Oh.
No, current edition. Well, of course, for me.
I've got a score sheet all.
A score sheet? Oh, for our trivia contest.
Let's get started with the trivia contest.
Okay, we have trivia.
I just lost a couple of questions because he already, in the interview there.
What were the questions?
Well, I was going to say, when did Peanuts, when was their debut? And he said the first week in October, and it was October 2nd, 1950.
So that wipes that one right out. And there was another one?
It's interesting to note that Miss Peach was around since 1957, and Mama was around since 1970. I just thought I'd throw that in.
1970?
That's all, yeah.
Really? That's pretty new.
Yeah, it is.
But when you think of it, that's a hell of a lot of comics.
Yeah, it is.
How do you think of a new idea every day? I guess you don't.
I would assume. I didn't ask Charles this, but I think he would say that.
You're on a first-name basis now.
Oh, Chuck, yeah. But I would assume that they write out a whole bunch, and then they go dry for, several weeks.
Well, I have this book at home. It's called The Mama Treasury. Now, this is Mel Lazarus right now. This isn't Charles Schulz, but he does everything for.
How can you read that? You know, a whole lot of those at once.
You can't. There's no way you can do it.
It gets so repetitive.
You know, they're pretty funny. A couple of them, they'll be sitting in a Chinese restaurant opening fortune cookies. In this particular book, that's what they do is they'll take like two from a particular topic and stick them right in the middle of the page, and the rest would be just different ones. You know, but he mentioned something like he works a full week, except the only difference between him and me would be is that he works at home and he has a secretary comes to his house.
Oh.
And he draws up the six daily comics plus the one big Sunday for each strip during that week, then he'll send them to the syndicate in Chicago.
Oh. Yeah, there are some, I think this guy Johnny Miles, is that his name? This BC, Wizard of Id, Hagar the Horrible.
No,
Al Cap, wasn't it Al Cap?
No, he doesn't do those.
What does he do?
BC and Wizard of Id, they're by Parker and Hart. I'm not sure which one does.
Johnny Hart, that's the guy.
Johnny Hart?
Who's Johnny Miles?
I don't know, it sounds like a jazz musician.
I think, yeah.
It's Miles Davis.
Oh, something like that.
No, Spencer Davis.
No, Barry Miles.
Jim Spencer.
Tony Spencer Band. No, sorry.
How are we getting into this now? There was another one, though, that was just like BC and Wizard of Id, but I can't remember which one that was. It was very similar. And
I know the one you're talking about.
You do?
But I don't know the name. I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I was speaking with someone.
Could you be thinking of Pogo?
Pogo?
Pogo.
No resemblance whatsoever to BC. I mean, it's done by the same, it's the same artist.
Oh,
that was Walt Kelly, wasn't it? And then his wife took over after he died.
Walt Kelly.
And that was the end of it.
And they shrunk it down, and then she got upset at that, and she just
You know
stopped
what
altogether.
I don't like? I don't like Sunday edition of the paper, you don't get Grin and Bear It.
Oh.
That's one of my favorites. I think they're so irrelevant.
How about the Daily Chuckle? You don't get that either.
Well, I don't care about the Daily Chuckle.
You get the Sunday Chuckle.
But one of my favorite, one of them was the Grin and Bear It. It was just a normal setting, a police station. It was the two policemen talking. One said, "I can't understand it, Houlihan. The crime rate's gone up 16%, and in the same period, our pay only went up 7%, which isn't really all that funny. I didn't think it was all that funny." But in the background, though, they have a picture of a man underneath a blanket, and he there's a sign pointing "Undercover Squad," and I thought that's the funny part of that particular one.
Uh huh.
What do you have in front of you there?
I have a
you...
comic section. All these papers. In front of us, so I figured let's look at these.
I don't really like it when you get the Muppet stuff putting out a comic strip for what about Snuffy Smith? Come on.
Oh, I like Snuffy Smith.
No way.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Bad news.
I like Snuffy. I like,
gotta go.
I like that. I do.
Where's Snuffy Smith? I don't see Snuffy.
No,
Smith.
This is a Newsday. This is what is this?
Daily News.
And, Beetle Bailey comic strips.
No, I can't say Beetle.
Some of the expressions, though, in Beetle
Snuffy
Bailey
Smith
are pretty funny, I think.
Yeah. I like some of the... I generally like Snuffy Smith. That's good. I think that's one of my faves.
Yeah, Broomhilda.
I don't really like all that many that the Daily News has.
Dick Tracy. Now, that's a weird one. I mean, as I look at this one, I see... This is strange. Two people smiling. One of them's holding up a rat and grinning at it, and the other one has a parrot sitting on his hat. No, that's not the typical comic strip.
No, it isn't.
"You called me a rat when I sent you up," Tracy reminds her. "Maybe that was a compliment. I like rats, you know." It's a unique comic strip, I think.
Definitely running out of things to write about.
How about Dondi? I mean, let's face it, the kid's got a growth problem. He's been around for a good, 20 years now?
He's been the same size each time.
And the same mentality, too. He doesn't seem to learn from experience.
Anyway, you have a trivia quiz here, okay?
Enough of these. Enough of these. Get them out of here. All right. I have a quarter in my hand. I think we should flip this quarter to decide who...
I think you have more questions than me.
Even so, it's always...
I don't care. Go.
Okay.
No. No,
it's tails.
Oh,
wait a second. I don't know what we are.
I will flip a coin.
Oh, okay.
I will flip a brand new 1982 penny, which is zinc on the inside and copper on the outside.
It does have some copper left.
Yes.
That's good.
On the outside.
Zinc.
And who wants to be which?
Be which?
Call it?
Heads.
It is heads.
So what does that mean?
That means Steve gets his pick whether
and you get last licks.
No, Steve gets his pick. Now, Steve doesn't have to go first.
Well, do what you want. I don't care.
All right, how about this? What is Charles Schulz's dog's real name, and what is his claim to fame?
Charles Schulz's dog's... I thought we were going to stick to the comic strip. Now this is kind of getting out of it.
You went all the way and talked to the guy, so... I can come.
Charles Schulz's... And his claim to fame?
Yeah. Other than being Charles Schulz's dog.
Oh, I would think that would be enough right there. Could it be that he's a beagle? Is that a claim to fame?
Well, that's not the answer. I'm not sure if he's a beagle or not.
Hmm.
And there are plenty of beagles, and they're not famous or anything.
That's true. I know a couple. His name. I don't really think I've ever come in contact with that. Now, do you want to hold that one open for our listeners?
No, that's too far off.
Yeah, I think it's off the wall.
So, should I give it to you?
Yes. Why don't you give me a hint? So I won't feel totally crushed. I'll say
another
Patches.
Dog.
What?
Is Patches his name?
No.
Rover?
No.
Spot?
No.
Snoopy?
No. But another dog that appears in the strip.
Another dog that appears in Peanuts?
Yes.
I didn't know there was another dog that appeared in
Peanuts. Spike.
Oh.
His brother or cousin from Needles,
California.
Well,
that wipes out one of my questions.
Oh, well.
So I wish
I
that.
No,
that
wiped
out two of my questions.
Where did he live
was the other one, Needles, California.
Okay,
oh, well.
His dog's name was Spike, and he appeared in Ripley's Believe It or Not because he ate unusual things.
What?
I knew you'd ask that. I don't know. I don't know.
Next time you talk to Charles Schulz, ask him.
But he ate unusual things?
So that's 1 point for Steve. Ding!
All right.
How about 2 points for wiping out two questions?
Oh, no, wait. I wiped that. Well, by talking
well, Charles
to
Schultz like wiped that one.
All right, I got one for you. Who was the lonely kid that Charlie Brown met at camp and cheered up? Hint, Linus met him the following year.
Male?
Male?
Male or female?
Oh.
I thought you said that was his name, male. That's a funny
okay,
name.
Okay, you don't want to give hints. I just said, who is the lonely kid that Charlie Brown met at camp and cheered up? Hint, Linus met him the following year.
Oh, look at that. Let me see. That's rough. That's rough.
No, it's not.
All right, then I'll assume that it's someone who I've heard of. Let's see that. Well, let's say, I wouldn't be Sherman. He was one of the originals.
Stop that, Mike.
That's our tacky buzzer. We gotta have a tacky buzzer.
You don't need a buzzer. We have time. We can...
Okay, for now on, I'm going to give you a limit of 30 seconds each.
Oh, no, 30, 45.
Okay, 45 seconds.
What about Franklin?
Franklin?
Was he the lonely kid by any chance?
No, he wasn't.
Okay, I don't know.
Should I tell you now, or should we open this up? Okay, I'll tell him now. The kid's name was Roy.
Roy?
Curly black hair.
Hmm.
Yeah, Charlie Brown cheered him up, and then the next year, Roy was talking about him with Linus and kept referring to him as that strange round-headed kid.
And that's one point for Eric. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how hard I should make this. Let me see. Okay, they gave away one of my questions that Frida had naturally curly hair.
Naturally.
But what was her cat's name?
You know, I was thinking about that. I really was. I was trying to figure out what her cat's name was. And I couldn't think of it then, so why should I think of it now? Let me just try thinking, though.
How's it going?
Not too good. No, I don't know the cat's name. I'm sorry.
It was Farron.
Oh, that's right. Farron, the cat.
Yeah.
That was a good question. I was looking.
That's another point for Steve. Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, this is a quote from a character, and it's kind of a famous quote, I think. Oh, what the heck. I'll even tell you who said it. Lucy said it.
What's the question? Oh, all right. Go ahead.
The question is to fill in the last word.
Oh.
It's impossible to be gloomy when you're sitting behind a...
desk. Psychiatric desk. I don't know. When you're sitting behind a...
think hard.
What was her favorite food? Could it have... when you're sitting behind a... I don't know.
Marshmallow.
I was on the right
track. Eric.
She was feeling particularly
crabby that day, and Snoopy happened to walk by with two marshmallows on a stick, and he graciously handed her one of them, and they both sat behind fires, and she said with a smile, it's impossible to be gloomy when you're sitting behind a marshmallow.
Now, wait a minute. I got a question on this.
Okay.
I think you're making this a little bit too difficult.
That is not difficult.
How many times?
Do you remember that strip? Do you remember that?
How many times do they have marshmallows in the strip?
Not very often, which is why it stands out.
So if he missed it one day, he would have completely missed this particular one.
I must have read this one particular comic strip 17 times. I cannot accept that. I mean,
but it only happened
very
once.
Outstanding.
And you understood it on the last one, right?
All right. Next question.
Okay. I got hard questions. If you can't get those,
yeah.
I'm ready.
All right, well, name the town they live in.
The town they live in? When do they name the town they live in? I never knew they did that.
Oh, I got my ways of getting information.
But wait a second. Did they ever say that in the strip? Or is that just some little-known fact that Charles Schultz never told anybody?
I bet you it's not Big Bear City.
I bet you're right.
Yeah, I know it's in California.
That's true.
That much I didn't know it had a real name. I mean, is it a real town?
I would assume so by the name. Which is, forget it, no one's ever going to get it.
Okay, what is this? That's good.
Sebastopol.
Would you care to spell that?
Yes.
And, Mike, write this down.
Even I knew that.
Yeah.
You did?
I didn't know it, but the name is familiar.
What, as a
maybe
real town?
Maybe it said it on a road sign.
Why don't you, while we're talking, call up information and find out if that town really exists?
How do you spell that?
Sabastopol.
On the tip of my tongue, too, would you believe?
Okay. Well, it was on the tip of my tongue.
That's another one for Steve. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that's a cheap shot. Okay, here's one for you. What was it at one point in the comic strip that Linus continually forgot to bring to school?
Eggshells.
Good. And what were they for?
They were for making igloos.
Okay. Ring up another one for Steve. I'm proud of him on that one.
Ding, 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 ding.
Go ahead.
Well, I got tough questions here. I'm definitely gonna. All right, I'll go. All right, this is a little off.
All right.
They made a play on Charlie Brown. It was called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. The lead person is a famous actor. He later became a famous actor. And what is his name?
It wasn't John Boy Walton, was it?
No.
Of course, that's not his real name, but. Let me think about that one. I know you're right about that, but let me think. He later became a famous actor. What year did that come out?
I don't know.
Was it 70s, 60s?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I don't know that one either.
Okay, Gary Berghoff, MASH.
You're kidding?
No.
Really? Wow. Well, I got the right network anyways on CBS.
Oh, did you say CBS?
No, I said John Boy, and he's on CBS. Oh, not anymore, but he was.
That's a roundabout way of getting...
Well, I mean, he obviously had something.
Partial credit.
All right, wise guy. What were the first five lines of Snoopy's famous novel?
First five? All five lines?
Oh, yeah, they stood out like... I don't even have to look.
I don't know.
Not at all. Do you know the first line?
I'm gonna give up.
Did I miss anything?
Did you get any information? Good.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, finish your question
first. Okay, he got a point because he got one right, and then he got a point because he stumped me on some other trick question.
So it's 5-2 now.
5-2?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
How'd he get three more points?
You gave him a point.
I asked first and I asked last.
Oh,
so
okay.
Far.
Okay, all right.
Now, I just spoke to an operator. Now, this is one of the ones that we should have had on the air. This one was really good. I asked her for the area code of Sebastopol, California. And she says, that's in Turkey, isn't it? I said, I didn't know. And she says, yeah. And so she has to get another operator. And while she's talking to
that's
the other...
That's Constantinople one, she's thinking of.
No, I said that too. I said, that's Constantinople you're thinking of, aren't you? She says, no. There's another one there.
Sebastopol, California. Turkey.
Franco-Prussian War. She's telling
me,
you remember the Franco-Prussian War?
Well, of course,
it's right
remember.
In Turkey, right near the border of Russia. That's where the real Sebastopol is.
Now, what are the chances of us getting that kind of information, especially from the phone company?
Really? She was really on the ball. We should call up her supervisor and give her a commendation.
For knowing world geography.
Yes.
Now, we are in the midst of a question here where I have asked Steve to, I'll tell you what, you know, get as much as you can, and we'll give you partial credit.
If you give me the first line, I'll finish off the rest.
Oh, well, the first line is the easiest one. All right, you will finish up the rest if I give you the first line.
I can give it a shot.
Okay. But the first line is the one that was repeated over and over again.
So, okay. Then it was, that rings a bell.
The lines of Snoopy's novel.
I don't know. I really don't.
It was a dark and stormy night. Suddenly, a shot rang out.
Oh, yeah.
The maid screamed. A door slammed. Suddenly, a pirate ship appeared on the horizon. Oh, I'm sorry, that's four lines. But you couldn't have gotten
no that. No wonder it screwed me up.
Yeah. So that makes it 5-3.
5-3. Ding, 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 ding. Another point.
Which means we only have 5 minutes left in our program.
Okay. I could go for points here. Should I go for points and go for a tough one?
What were all the other ones you threw at me if they're not tough? I mean, all right.
What about the ones?
Well, I had an easy one, but
what about the ones you threw at him?
But Chuck canceled it out.
He got one of them.
Well.
All right, throw me the hardest one you have.
What's Linus's blanket made of? What material?
Let me think of this one. What's his blanket made? I know this one. Deep down, I know this one.
That's what makes a good trivia question.
Yeah. What's his blanket made out of? Can we come back to that while I think?
What do you want, a musical interlude?
No, you can't come back.
Well, I just feel kind of foolish saying, on the
radio. Are you counting those seconds there,
yes,
Mike?
Yes, I am. You have 20 seconds.
flannel?
No.
No?
It was blue anyway. Well, okay, it could be blue flannel. All right.
Because Swanee said flannel.
Well, maybe this is flannel, but what it is, should I tell you?
Okay.
It's something called Outland Fling.
I never would have gotten that. Where'd you hear that one?
Oh, I got my ways.
Another.
I don't have to reveal my sources,
ding,
do
ding,
I?
Ding, ding, ding,
I
ding,
hope
ding.
The source is the comic strip, because that's what I studied.
Yeah, sources are always subject to verification, of course.
Okay.
And judges' decisions are not always final.
All right. What was the first name of the person that Peppermint Patty, for a time, got to play on Chuck's team?
Marcy.
No.
Marcy did play.
No, but this character was a big thing.
Oh, the guy was a really good baseball player.
Yeah.
That was on TV.
It was on TV as well, I think.
And that was little kid. That was really
yes, funny. Little kid. Never said anything.
Little kid. Boy, that's a good one. Oh, I don't know, but
your
it was
the voice of
Long
Island.
He had
go ahead, Mike. This is WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay.
He had, it said it was a word and then his name. Like,
a word and then his name?
Well, I don't know. I have to let it go.
Okay, his first name was Jose.
First name was Jose.
That's I couldn't remember his last name, so I didn't put that as part of the question.
Jose.
But Jose was definitely his first
Another
name.
Another point for Eric. Ding, 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 ding.
Your turn.
Okay, well.
You could throw in an easy one now and then.
Well,
where lions continually forget to bring to school. I thought that was easy.
Well, maybe I should just think of another one of the one I wrote down. Well, I had my easy one. My easy one was given away.
You only had one easy one?
I shouldn't give you the points. Yeah, I'm out to win this. Let me see. Let's see.
I've got a couple of easy ones left, you know.
All right, I'll give you an easy one then. What is Lucy's last name?
Van Pelt.
Yeah. See, I'm setting you up.
That's the first one I've gotten, you know.
Ding, 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 ding.
So
ding,
I only
ding,
got
ding.
One, too.
Okay,
I mean,
here's an easy one. Here's an easy one. What's the date of Beethoven's birthday?
Oh, come on.
Oh, you don't know that?
Now you're
That's
dead.
Common knowledge.
I got hard ones now.
That is common knowledge. That is an easy one, I'll have you know.
Schroeder always celebrated it, too.
That's right. In fact, let's open up the phones right now. We'll see how long it takes somebody to call up with that date. Okay? 246-7901. First person who wins, we say congratulations to you.
Yeah, that's you got me there.
Beethoven's birthday. I mean, you know, it's very simple. That's a phone call. Go ahead, Mike, take it. And let's see what they say. Mike's taking down the information.
Should we go on to another one while he's taking down the information?
Let me see if he's finished. How long could it take? Well, Mike, what do we have?
December 16th.
That's correct.
Wow.
I know why you know that.
Well,
because it's the day after your birthday.
No, it's the day of my birthday, but still.
Oh.
It's mentioned so many times.
That was your friend Dave, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Dave. No, it was mentioned so many times that you cannot possibly,
Well, you can possibly. I just did. I missed it.
Well,
all right, give him a point, Mike, and ring it up.
Okay.
I don't think that was a hard question. I really don't.
Hey, it wasn't a hard question.
Ding, ding.
What was
the score is 6-6, incidentally.
6-6. Okay.
Hey.
What was Peppermint Patty's last name?
Good God. I didn't know Peppermint Patty had a last name. Velasquez?
No.
It was a shot in the dark. I don't know.
I guess you'd say it. All right, I'll tell you. Richard. Or something like that.
You're kidding.
R-E-I-C-H-A-R-T.
That's
R-A-R-D-T.
Good. That's a good one.
Right,
I have to hand it to you. That's
now,
a good one.
I have just a question, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, we try to keep this as unfair as possible.
Right.
Where did you get that information?
Do I have to reveal my sources?
Yes, please.
I think it's only fair.
I got it from my Super Trivia book.
Super Trivia book. Well, I'll have you know that I got all this just from regular comics, okay? Just that nobody says anything here. I didn't go to any third sources.
except for
so
the comics.
That means you have nothing to prove it by.
No, I can bring in the comics. I got books and books at home.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Lots of them. But, I mean, that's a fair way to do it, isn't it?
That's a fair way of doing
it. I think so.
I've got an easy question for you.
Go ahead.
In the comic strip Mama,
was
Mama's name? What is Mama's name? I want both first and last name.
You've got to be kidding.
No, you don't have to be kidding.
Mrs.
Oh, good, you're getting it.
No, I don't know.
Wait, no,
what's the name of the guy that always whistles, that old guy she hangs out with that's always got the...
Oh, Mr. K?
Is that the guy with the nurse?
Why?
The guy who's always boring, never says anything.
Oh, no, the guy with the nurse that has the hair that goes around in a spiral.
Yeah.
That's this old shriveled up guy. No, that's a different
guy. He's been old and shriveled up for the past 10 years, you know.
He's only appeared in that a couple of times.
But he's still going strong.
Not really. With some artistic license there, yeah. But no, the other guy, Mr. K, is the one with the round face and whose mouth is off down to the side, and he's always, like, falling asleep and whistling.
Yeah. Well, now, when you say the name of that character, you probably mean her husband's name.
No. She's a widow.
I know, but doesn't she still keep the same last name?
Oh, yes. But I'm asking, what is her name?
Her maiden name.
How about Richardson?
No. Her first name and her last name.
Her maiden name. Her last name, not her husband's last name, right? Is that what you're saying?
The name she uses
right now. If you can get any one of them, you got it.
Oh, well, I don't know either one, so I don't even know why I'm saying this.
Mrs. Sonia Hobbs, of course.
That's right.
Oh, sure.
That's right.
You know what street she lives on?
Bleecker
Street.
I said Baker, I said Bleecker.
No, she
lives... At the same time, that sounds pretty
She lives on Elm Street. Do you know what number?
14.
48.
I was definitely on the right track on that one.
You had a 4 there, at least.
And 8 divided by 2 is 4 again.
8 divided by 2... Is
yeah, it is four, Mike.
Yes. It took me a while. Okay, now the easy part is, what is the daughter's name? That's easy.
Tina.
Wrong.
No? She married
Thomas.
The other guy, Thomas, right.
No, everybody knows it's Mary Lou. That's too easy. I'm not even going to give that as a question.
Wait, who's Tina then? Is Tina the daughter-in-law?
Tina, yeah. Yes.
Oh, then I do know something. That's always nice to find out.
Yeah, it's always nice to know you know something.
Well, can we get back to the issue at hand? Thank you. Now, whose turn was it?
Well, you got more questions than me. I think I only got one left.
Okay, well, then we'll stop counting the points then. All right. What character had a number for a name?
Orville 9.
No. Pretty much asking you for the name.
Or number.
Boy, that was a while ago. It was a
hint. He wore it on his T-shirt. I don't know what kind of a hint that is, but... The clock ticking away, Mike?
Yes, it is.
Good.
Yes, it is. We have 20 seconds.
Oh, wonderful.
Was it 9?
No, it wasn't 9. I'm prepared to give you one more chance.
I have 45 seconds to count as fast as I can.
No, you only have 10 seconds.
Oh. Was it 45?
That wasn't a hint. Was it? Oh.
10.
No, it wasn't 45. His name was 5.
Oh, yeah.
Another point for Eric. Another name for Eric? Another point for Eric.
Now that was a character whose father had one day decided to switch everything to numbers.
Oh, that's right, and he gave the name of all his brothers and sisters.
Right,
and
he gave his full name, his last name, which is 45692 or something like that. And Charlie Brown or Linus or someone asked him, was this your father's way of rebelling? And he said, no, this is my father's way of giving in. And I think it's kind of cute. All right. You have one more question?
Yeah, and that is, what year was Woodstock's debut?
What year was Woodstock's debut? Was it after the concert?
Depends. I don't know when the year of the concert was.
The year of the concert was 1969 or was 1970?
Boy, now that's asking a little bit for too much of a hint there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious. I always was curious about that. What, did he name the bird after the concert, or did he name it after the town, or did he name him after nothing?
I don't know.
Well, just tell me one thing. Was it in the 60s or the 70s? I don't think that's asking too much.
All right. In the 70s.
Then I say 1973.
No, 1970.
Really? Okay. I'll accept that.
So, Mike, I think the points
another
are...
Another point for Steve.
Oh, wait a minute. You started first. That means I end last.
Oh, yeah, you get last.
I'm trying to... Yeah. Okay.
I can ask you some little rascal stuff, but we'll let that go.
All right. Actually, I only have one more question than you do. And it's, I wonder which one I should ask here. All right, this one's...
I wasted a question last week when I asked you what was the name of the only non-Caucasian...
that was a good question.
Yeah, I think you did get it, though.
Yeah, I did after a couple of guesses.
I'm glad I didn't ask it.
All right. I'll just ask you this one, then. Who was Charlie Brown's idol?
A baseball player, and he always collected his baseball cards. And,
no, he never collected his baseball cards.
Oh, he never got one, that's right.
He once spent $15, I think, going through baseball cards, and then Lucy spent a penny and got one right away.
Right.
And then she threw it in the garbage can after he left.
I don't think it was a real name, a real baseball player.
She had a problem, that girl.
It wasn't Marv Thornberry.
No.
Where did you get that name?
That's Marv, from another...
Marv Thornberry. No, Marv Thornberry was a real baseball player. I mean, I thought that...
I don't believe this is a real
guy,
baseball
player. He's the guy in all the Schlitz commercials that says, I really don't think I should be here. You know that guy?
Come on, you have 5 seconds.
Are we allowed to say Schlitz commercials on the air?
No.
Oh, okay, let's not say that then.
Tom Summer. I don't know, I give up.
Joe Slobotnik.
Oh. Joe Slobotnik!
Yeah.
Right.
I
know that name only because you mentioned it once on the show.
I did mention Joe Slobotnik. It's hard to go...
He's not from Slotsburg, is he?
No, I don't think so. The other question I had, this won't count for points.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just give the final score.
Okay.
Steve Specht.
8. Eric Crowley. 8.
Oh, my God. But I was right about Rerun. I want to rub it in. I wouldn't rub it in if you weren't so adamant about it last week, but...
I still remember a strip where I couldn't find it, but where he was whipping the dogs and cats, biting at his heels with his blanket. Now, Rerun didn't have a blanket.
No, he was doing that, but he wasn't riding on the back of his mother's bicycle, not motorcycle, on the way to a library, or back from a library. So I can't give you, consideration for
so
that.
You're trying to say you won because of something last week?
No.
All right.
But I'm saying for people, consideration-wise, if you think we're tied up, all even. Well, just consider that as well.
Considering calling Charles Schultz, you're stuck at a $5 phone bill.
Well, we won't go into that.
The station is.
Okay, this is my last question I never asked. What's the most, quote-unquote, unique double play combination in baseball?
Well, that's not Tinkers to Everest to Chance.
No. I'm sorry. I mean in that strip. Charlie Brown once said, I have the most unique double play combination and... The first baseman is not named, so I'll tell you that right off the bat.
Shortstop was Peppermint Patty. It's Peppermint Patty to Snoopy to first base.
Peppermint Patty was not on Charlie Brown's team.
True.
Snoopy was a shortstop, Linus was a second baseman. Good night, folks.
What do you mean, good night,
folks? Oh, well, no, I mean, that ends the trivia contest.
Yes, it's 1 o'clock straight up. But you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook. Thank you very much, Steve Specht, for dropping in for this.
Yeah, it was real. You have other questions. Maybe you want to bring them back sometime and we can,
Yeah, but these are just general all around.
Okay, well, people are into that kind of thing. Are they varied?
Yeah, they're very varied.
Why don't you ask Mike one, because he hasn't had to think at all in this last half hour.
Except about the Franco-Prussian War.
You've been talking to phone operators. We've been taxing our minds here. Oh, he's waiting for you to ask him a question.
Oh, you want it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I thought the theme song might run out there. let me see.
Come on, don't make it
what
too hard.
What does SCUBA stand for?
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Very good.
I don't need it. I don't want to hear this.
Let's
go out and get a beer.
I heard that first on a radio station, and it wasn't this one. Oh, boy.
This is
fun.
Give me a proud look at him jumping around back there.
Give me another one. This is fun.
Okay. bring him down to earth. I want to see this.
All right, you want a tough one?
Yeah.
What was Dudley Do-Right's horse's name?
Ha!
Oh.
You look Dudley. Worried now, man.
I am worried. I don't know.
Horse.
You didn't know it, did you?
I didn't claim to.
But you said, ha!
I knew you didn't know
it. Okay, give me another one.
What does E pluribus unum mean?
Do not fold spindle immediately. No?
No, it means...
In Latin.
in Latin, it means e pluribus unum.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Translated to...
Give me the definition in Latin. We won't know if you're right or wrong.
Okay, unum pluribus e.
Are you going to answer this or are you going to beat around the bush?
Yeah, you got to give me a hint on this one.
It's on your money.
I know it's on my money. It doesn't mean in God we trust. No, it's,
I was going to say that.
It's something about being...
there could be a comma united. Between pluribus and unum in English.
A country united or something like that.
Out of many, one.
Out of many, one, yes. Okay.
Well, you got the basic idea, and I guess that's what counts.
Give me another one.
Oh, come on.
What was Underdog's girlfriend's name?
Underdog? Oh.
Sally?
That's part of it.
I know.
No, that's not it. I'm wrong.
Not
I'm
it?
Wrong. No.
Then what
it was Sweet Polly Purebred.
Ah, Sweet Polly Purebred, of course. Where do I go wrong with this?
One last one.
All right, this is an easy one. What was Tennessee Tuxedo's sidekick?
Oh. Oh. What kind of animal was he? A penguin? No, he was a penguin.
And who did the voice of Tennessee Tuxedo?
Oh, that I don't know.
That should be the easiest. Very famous voice.
Tennessee Williams?
No.
Oh.
That was Don Adams.
Tennessee Ernie Ford? Yeah.
Tennessee Williams was not Don Adams.
Yes, he... No, no.
He Don said Adams, it for a second.
Don Adams was Tennessee Tuxedo. Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Did he give up on his walrus sidekick friend?
Oh, Oscar Walrus. Oscar Walrus?
No.
Wally Walrus?
No.
Winston Walrus?
No.
Washington
Wombat
no.
Walrus?
No.
One or Wombat?
Forget it. You're way off. You give up?
Yeah.
Chumley.
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 Yeah. He's right. The man's right.
Enough of this. Enough of this.
246-7901, if you have any questions yourself. You can try to stump us. We won't. We'll ask each other on the air. You might win something. You might not.
You'll win self-gratitude or something like that.
Just give us a question and we'll try to answer it on the air. 246-7901.
And we got tripods and all sorts of other surprises, so stay there. Tell you the bomb that you blow what everybody knows. Keep on coming to me, don't cause I love to see your feet. The move I'm on, the move we coming down, we coming down, down. Tell you baby, it's good, we do, we do. Stay, stay, I show me, do, we do. May we do what I'm with you. I'm better than the president. Spy will find on you, I show me, do. Scream like, hey, we do. Window, girl, we do. Say we will have another freedom time. Chill it out, make you feel so fine. Gonna move it and rock you down the line. Gonna leave my mama's passion behind. Yeah, yeah, till you got to see the sign. Baby, the hall is mine. Skip on the, let's go on the bottom of the day. Skip on the bottom of the day. Stand up, skip on the bottom. Tell you baby, you know what I mean? Say well, baby girl, say well, don't want to be well. Say it, you say you got it now. Musical injection, we got in your midsection. The love and affection. Oh baby, Scooby-Dooby-Doo. I'm gonna smoke up the collie. I'm gonna check a little things to find it, darling. Gonna tell you about Mohammed, darling. Tell ya, I'm stinging like a bee. Baby girl, like what you want, my spree.
Put down your cigarette rag. Don't smoke, 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 don't smoke. It's a $9 billion capitalist joke. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. Smoking makes you cough. You can't sing straight.
You gobble on saliva and you vomit on your plate. Don't smoke, 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 don't smoke. You smoke in bed, you smoke on the hill, smoke till you're dead. You smoke in hell, don't smoke, 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 don't smoke. You puff your fag, you suck your butt, you choke and gag, teeth full of crud. Don't smoke, don't smoke, 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 don't smoke. You pay your half buck for death with pack. Trust your bad luck and smoke in the sack. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. Nicotine, nicotine, it's so obscene. No smoke, dope, 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 dope. The official dope, 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 dope. Don't smoke, don't smoke. To 75 million in greens, what Madison Avenue gets to advertise nicotine and hook you radical brats. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, dope, dope, nope, dope, nope, dope. Hoax, 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 hoax. Don't smoke, dope, 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 hoax, 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 hoax. Black magic pushes dope. Sexy chicks in cars, America loses hope and smokes and drinks in bars. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't choke, 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 don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. $9 billion a year, a southern industry by Senator Joe Fear, who runs the CIA. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, 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 and dagger. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, 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 smoke. $9 billion for dope, approved by Time and Life. America's lost hope, the president smokes his wife. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, nope, 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 hope, 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 hope. If you will get in bed and give your girlfriend head, then you won't want a fag or evermore a drag. Don't smoke, don't smoke, hope, 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 hope. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, oh please, oh please. I'm calling on my knees. Don't smoke, dope, 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 dope. The official dope. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. 24 hours in bed and give your boyfriend head. Put something in your mouth like skin, not cigarette filth. Suck tit, suck tit, suck tit, suck cock, suck cock, suck lip, suck lip, suck quick, suck quick, quick. Don't smoke, 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 nicotine. It's so obscene, don't smoke nicotine, it's so obscene. Suck cock, suck quick, suck tit, suck it, suck shit, but don't smoke shit. Don't, no, 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 don't smoke, dude. Thank you.
that's very, very, very interesting stuff. That's new off an album by a group called Capellae. And what's the tune? What was the name we thing we heard? We heard Abe Schwartz's famous Cher. It's an interesting kind of thing. It's on the Flying Fish label. Just before that, from Ornella Vanoni, we heard something from an album called Ricchetta di Donna. One of the things that gets very little airplay here, even though it is non-commercial music, and this is Long Island's non-commercial alternative, WUSB. Mike Uhas here. Eric Crowley's in the other room. I don't think he's listening right now. I don't think he's anywhere near a microphone. We got the tripods coming up in a little while. If you have suggestions for any rather non-commercial music, why not give us a call? 246-7901. We've been having some problems with our telephones, and if for some reason you can't get through, well, just keep trying. If you're really intent, you'll get us at 3 o'clock, right where we're walking home or something like that. We did have a gentleman call up and mention, well, we didn't mention anything about Dennis the Menace and how Dennis the Menace has seemingly gotten more intelligent the last several months. And I definitely agree with him. My own personal observation of Dennis the Menace. But Dennis the Menace is another one of my favorites, and I don't know why I glossed right over it. Yes, I like Snuffy Smith, but I forgot to mention it, but Steve did, so that's, I don't know, just because I didn't mention it doesn't really necessarily mean anything. Anyway, stay tuned for the tripods. I thought that Capellae album was so good. This is the kind of thing you have to turn the radio up real loud and kind of like just kind of dance along to. From their album Future in the Past, you're going to hear another cut off of it called something I can't even figure out how it says.
Ins Bett mit der Laie, mein Leben schwarzen Jam. Die Lippe wird mein Vorelle, drei Jahr noch an an. Die Jungs, die Pinge, Schmutzki, die Klappe, viel Tatsam. Oh, wenn wir bleiben stehen, zusammen weiter wann.
Let's get down, a flesh and lift it up in our
vajere ribenku starno bi.
Are you easily intimidated? Do you feel you have to listen to anyone who has an authoritative voice? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. That's right. Now you too can possess one of the most valuable tools of today's society. Listen.
Some people say that nuclear power is dangerous. But what happens when you look at the facts? You'll find that 99 out of 100 people who say they are opposed to nuclear power plants have never actually been inside one. Now, can you trust the judgment of someone who obviously doesn't know what he's talking about?
How would you like to be able to talk with such an earnest and believable style of speaking? Well, you can. For just $19.95 an hour, we'll teach you how to talk like a professional. You can launch political propaganda and even make personal attacks.
David Wellenbaum, city controller for 19 years. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? But are you hearing the full story? Do you know, for instance, that David Wellenbaum bought his faithful secretary a $250 watch for her birthday? And in the same month, he turned around and got his wife a $17 necklace for their anniversary? It seems that Mr. Wellenbaum's values are a little reversed and perhaps immoral. Is this the kind of man you want to see reelected this fall?
You can talk up a storm wherever you go. With that kind of voice, people will believe anything you say. And you can use it in everyday life, too, as much as you like. Listen.
Yes, officer, I realize that over 40 people say they saw me run that red light and hit that kid on the bicycle. But did you ever stop to think how deceptive things sometimes are? For instance,
Why do the sun and moon seem bigger when they're rising or setting? For hundreds of years, people thought they actually were bigger. Yet today, people like you and me know better. It's simply a trick that our eyes play on us. Not unlike the trick that was just played on the eyes of those people.
Yes, you can practically get away with murder with a voice like that. And we're willing to teach you how to get one for only $19.95 an hour. Call up right now, 958-1234. You can have an authoritative voice in as little as 2 weeks. That's 958-1234. Don't delay, 958-1234. And remember, a firm voice is a good choice.
Did you ever stop to think how much money is taken from the pockets of people like you to support all of the crazy gimmicks going around today?
Hey!
In as little as 2 weeks, you too can have an authoritative voice. Doesn't that sound like a ripoff?
Hey!
Well, there is something you can do that will help wipe out such con artists. Contact your local consumer protection agency.
Alternative music, another part of The Voice of Long Island. Stay tuned, because the tripods are coming up real soon.
Radio Free Long Island, in conjunction with the Three Villages Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week, as we check in with Kathy, Howard, and Boris, we find that they are in the sewer system of Nice and have just met Uncle Jonathan. And Kathy right now is wondering just why Uncle Jonathan.
Uncle Jonathan! What in the world are you, of all people, doing here?
We thought we were the only ones wandering around these French sewers.
I am totally baffled and a little confused, my friends. What is going on?
Well, it's no wonder you're confused, Boris.
Well, who wouldn't be? I'm confused, too. And he's my uncle.
I'm not really confused. I'm more puzzled.
Well, Uncle Jonathan, do you have an explanation as to just why you're here?
You're probably wondering what I'm doing here. Eh, Kathy?
That man is very intelligent, no?
Well, I'll tell you. Do you remember a month or two ago, Howard, you were supposed to star in a major motion picture with that famous French actress? Oh, what was
Come off it already. What about Brigitte Leroux?
Hey, that was her name. Very good, Kathy.
You mean that you, Mr. Tripod, were supposed to co-star in a major motion picture with Brigitte Leroux?
Yes.
My sister?
What?
It's all falling into place now, my children.
I'm more confused than ever, Uncle Jonathan. What is going on?
It's very simple, Kathy. Very simple. You see, I was under contract to have a film made by the end of the month. And then Howard got lost and Brigitte Leroux never showed up.
All right. That makes sense so far. Now, wait a minute. I want to write this down so I don't get lost. Hang on here. Okay, go ahead.
So there I was with no film and a rapidly approaching deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do. And then I found out, Kathy, that you and Howard were going on a vacation.
And the rest is history, my friends.
What do you mean, the rest is history, Boris? I still don't understand this.
Why don't we just let Uncle Jonathan finish explaining it?
I heard that you two were in search of a statue that was hidden somewhere in France. So I hired a film crew to follow you around as soon as you got onto the boat and record your every move.
Now, hold on. Do you mean that all the time we were out looking for the statue, we were actually on film?
That's correct, Kathy.
Let me write that down.
But where does Boris fit into all of this?
Ah, that is the most interesting part, Mr. Tripod. You see, my real name is Boris Leroux.
Well, you are Brigitte's sister. I mean, brother.
Wait a minute, Howard. Don't go so fast.
Boris has always been a good friend of mine. So when I called him to find out where his sister was, he told me that she had decided to give up acting for a while. He offered to help me in her place.
Howard, give me your pen. Mine's going dry.
So I hired Boris to help you find the statue, which I made certain was hidden in the most dangerous and terrifying place in France.
The sewers of Nice.
You mean we've been risking our lives down here just so you could make a stupid film? I ought to tear your stupid face apart. Do you know what we've been through?
Calm down, Mr. Tripod. Remember, you will be getting 25% of the residuals.
I'll let it go this time, but watch out in the future.
25%? Golly, that could be a lot of money.
I'm expecting this film to be the biggest thing since Star Wars.
All right. Let me see if I got everything straight. Now, we've been starring in a film all this time and we didn't know it. But Boris did know it, right?
That's exactly right, Kathy.
Now, the film began as soon as we stepped onto the boat. And I'll bet that mysterious stranger we met on the boat was a part of the plot, right?
That's correct, Kathy. You certainly are perceptive.
Phew. Well, that explains that.
There's one thing I'm not sure on. Now, we know when the film began, but where does it end?
Why, it is still going on, my friends.
Yes, you might call this the grand finale of the entire film.
I think the shock ending will astound many people.
Shock ending? What shock ending?
And so, all sorts of shocking discoveries are made by the Tripods, far too many to be summarized within this 30 seconds. If you want to tune in next week, when we'll hear Howard say,
"Boy, that was shocking."
That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, presented exclusively through an arrangement with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka. I'm not going to do that.
I like the way that fades away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't always get what you want. 1:56 in the morning.
Yeah.
On the Voice of Long Island.
-1 degree Celsius in Stony Brook.
It comes out to, what, 30 on the Fahrenheit scale?
Something like
Sounds about right to me.
Well, this is a squeaky chair, isn't it?
It is.
This is worse than the old wooden chair.
Well, we like squeaky chairs around here.
You do?
It's a trademark.
Yeah, I guess it is. When are we going to get our new chairs, anyway?
Well, you see, the chair maker factory went on strike as soon as we ordered them.
Yeah.
There's, I'm serious. That's what happened.
What color are they going to be?
They are going to be orange.
Orange?
Frank Berger selected them himself.
That's what these are. These are orange. The one you're sitting on is yellow.
But Frank assures us that these won't squeak because they're like the old ones.
What happened to the old ones?
They don't squeak.
Where are they?
You're sitting on one.
Oh.
I guess it doesn't squeak.
This is only my imagination, I'm sure.
That's right.
A little in-joke there. Well,
you want to read the news or do you want to stare at the microphone?
Let's just stare at the microphone.
Read the news, please.
A story of bravery is emerging in the aftermath of a plane crash in Rhode Island nearly 1 week ago. According to a federal investigator, the two pilots who brought a small commuter plane in for a crash landing on a reservoir were literally burning as they struggled to save the aircraft and its passengers. In fact, the investigator says, the smoke from a fire in the cockpit was so thick, the pilot and co-pilot couldn't see each other and had to open the window to spot the frozen reservoir near Providence. Both men are hospitalized, one in serious condition and one in critical condition, but all but one of the 12 people aboard the aircraft survived, and the investigator says they did a marvelous job. No word on the cause of the cockpit fire. And concerning another plane crash, according to transcripts released Friday, there were no signs of trouble aboard the World Airways DC-10 in Boston last month until just seconds before it skidded off an airport runway. The transcripts were of a cockpit tape recording, and the pilot gave no indication of problems with his plane until 11 seconds before the craft skidded and went down into Boston Harbor. Two of the passengers aboard the plane are believed to have drowned. Next stop, Rome, for a hijacked Tanzanian airliner. The British Broadcasting Corporation says the plane carrying more than 90 people has taken off from Saudi Arabia. Earlier, the plane was hijacked while on a domestic flight in Tanzania and flown to Kenya, where the hijackers said they had killed two passengers. The hijackers are demanding the resignation of Tanzanian President Nyerere.
Tanzania. Not Tanzania. Tanzania. It's a Tanzanian president. Sorry. Just thought I'd mention that. Don't look at me like that. I'm sorry. All right. The nation's commerce secretary says time is running out. Don't fade me down. Thank you. Says time is running out for the Japanese to relax trade restrictions on American goods. Japan has recently announced new measures to erase the growing trade deficit. Stop doing that, Mike. But Malcolm Baldridge says they're a disappointment. The U.S. imported $18 billion more in Japanese goods last year than it shipped to Japan. All reports indicate that a new contract agreement between the United Auto Workers and Ford Motor Company is on its way to approval by the UAW rank and file. Union officials say workers nationwide are so far voting 3-1 in favor of the agreement, and near Detroit, the largest UAW local to vote on the agreement gave it a yes vote by a nearly 2-1 margin. Mike?
My turn. Let's see. The National Center for Disease Control says a New York City man attempting to inject cocaine into his arm has become the first known case of botulism resulting from drug abuse. In the Georgia-based center's weekly morbidity and mortality report, it says the 30-year-old man was hospitalized January 2nd after he had trouble breathing and swallowing and had to be placed on a mechanical respirator. According to the center, botulism eventually was diagnosed and traced to the man's attempt to inject cocaine intravenously. Botulism, which is usually associated with contaminated food, is fatal in about one-third of the cases. The New York City man is recovering after penicillin treatment. The center says there have been 27 cases of botulism associated with wounds reported since 1943, but this was the first case associated with drug abuse. Get your hands off that. Two samurai swords and a $40,000 coin collection were recovered by police today after neighbors watched
three burglars climbing out of a window at a Lower East Side apartment house. Sergeant Robert Doyle of the 5th Precinct says neighbors called police at about 5 p.m. after they saw the suspects climb out a window onto a fire escape at 50 Mulberry Street. He says the suspects' descriptions were broadcast on the police radio, and they were arrested about 20 minutes later at Forsyth and East Houston Streets by two officers. According to Boyle, the stolen goods, including about $2,000 worth of videotape and radio equipment, were spread over the back seat of the suspect's car. Boyle said the coins, weighing about 40 to 50 pounds, were in a ripped Macy's shopping bag. Police arrested 18-year-old Hector Colon of Manhattan and two Jersey City men, 34-year-old Roberto Melendez and 16-year-old Jose Rivera. Police say they are charged with burglary, possession of stolen property, and possession of burglar's tools, as well as possession of a weapon. A loaded .38 caliber automatic was recovered from the car. No one was at home at the Curlin Yee residence when the burglary took place.
That's Houston Street, not Houston Street. Houston.
You're right, of course. Houston. It's neither here nor there, though.
Turning to more serious matters, turn me back on, please. Thank you. The Portland Blazers were defeated by the New Jersey Nets 110-106. Repeating that, New Jersey 110, Portland 106. Mike?
And Eric has a look at the USB Long Island weather.
Yeah, we do. I do. Oops. Heavy weather, you know. It's currently -1 degree in Stony Brook, and that comes out to about 30 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting to be clear tonight. Oh, Mike, I don't believe you did that. Clear tonight with low temperatures in the low 20s. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow with highs in the upper 30s. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow night, lows in the mid-20s. Mostly cloudy Wednesday with high temperatures in the mid-30s.
Good. And I have another special story here. And I'm tired of reading, so I'll give it to you.
This is in Chinese.
You know Chinese?
Well, I do know some of it, actually. And we'll see if we can kind of struggle through this together. Well, the first character has a little box in the middle, what looks like a T to the right, and then sort of an inverted T on the left.
Two samurai swords and a $40,000 gold
little lines
coin
on the
collection
bottom,
recovered by police today after neighbors...
A straight line and another line going through, and that's one character. Now, the character next to that looks like sort of a Z, but written in script, and then with a line through it at the bottom.
The High Chaparral, a full hour
that comes after
action western, traces
numerical
the
character.
Adventures and misadventures of the Cannon family in their struggle to maintain a peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. The struggle to maintain a cattle ranch in the rugged Arizona desert.
Now you've gone into our 2 o'clock album slot, and you haven't announced that.
Oh, WUSB Stony Brook.
We're going into our 2 o'clock album slot now. The news is over.
The High Chaparral, a full-hour action western, traces the adventures and misadventures of the Cannon family in their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island.
Oh, come on.
I'll let you read it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now in its 12th TV season, Bonanza premiered as the first hour-long series. I'm reading this one. I want to read this one. Don't take the album from me like
that. We're not playing Bonanza. We're playing High Chaparral.
What's the difference? Tell me the difference.
There's a difference.
All right. The characters in the High Chaparral are Henry Darrow as Metalito Montoya. Rudy Ramos plays the wind, which is pretty hard to do. Cameron Mitchell, Buck Cannon. Linda Crystal, Victoria Cannon. And Leif Erickson, John Cannon. What side are we going to hear? Side one or side two? Side three. Ooh. Record two, side one, which I guess is side three. We'll be hearing the theme from the High Chaparral, the Guns of Johnny Rondo, blues theme, Cantina, and Manolito. Yeah.
Yes, no, this is the important thing I'd like you to read right now.
You want me to read that? Okay, the High Chaparral, full-action western, traces the adventures and misadventures of the Cannon family in their struggle to make
find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island.
Stop that. Maintain a cattle ranch in the rugged Arizona desert. The action takes place just west of Tucson.
It's Tuscan.
Not Tucson. During the 1870s, the rough years when survival in the West meant an almost daily fight against the elements of nature as well as the warlike Apache and roaming bands of outlaws. The series is filmed on location at Old Tucson.
Tuscan.
A desert setting that has changed very little in the nearly 100 years from the time in which the drama is set. I've finished.
He be done reading his program notes for now. So, let's say we just...
He's going to this album. Well, this is a soundtrack album to The High Chaperone, also to Bonanza.
That's the other half.
But we're not going to hear that.
No, we're not.
Fight the dust from the guns of Johnny Rundle. He wed a girl named Mary Ann. Challenge you, and by mistake, kill your wife.
16 tried, 16 died at the hands of Johnny Rundle. Weak Mary Ann, they shot her down
and broke the heart of Johnny Rundle. Now Johnny Rundle and his son both headed west without a gun. Our Johnny vowed he'd kill no more. Hey, what you gonna do when they challenge you without your gun, Johnny Rundle?
16 tried, 16 died at the hands of Johnny Rundle. Now it's over and done, you're through with your gun.
Keep heading west with your son, Johnny Rundle.
16 tried, 16 died at the hands of Johnny Rundle. When you fool with lust, you bite the dust from the gun.
Yeah, doesn't it just make you want to go home and watch that on TV?
That's right, and you can't do it anymore in most places.
No, you can't.
But I'm surprised that album didn't get more airplay when it came out. When did it come out? Is there a year in that?
I don't know.
Just some investigating. As the needle tracks to the end. The show was big in the 60s, I know that much.
And the 1870s. Wait a minute. Okay. How many years did Bonanza run?
I would say 12.
And when was its last year?
Was I right, 12? Because I
don't know. I don't know. I'm asking you for...
Its last year, I think, was early 70s, maybe 72.
Well, according to this, it says, now in its 12th season, Bonanza premiered as the first hour-long series to be filmed in color. Today, the sprawling Ponderosa is loved by 400 million viewers in 89 countries. The action takes place in western Nevada during the blustering frontier days of the 1870s, with Ben Cartwright as head of a family in the magnificent Ponderosa Ranch. The spread rambles on for 1,000 square miles of towering pines and grazing herds, both of which form the economic basis for the Cartwrights' vast cattle and timber operations. Interestingly, the Ponderosa is named for the majestic trees that even today line the Sierra Nevada mountain range near Lake Tahoe, Nevada, which serves as one of the show's filming locations.
How about that? That's really interesting that we bring this up. So long after most people have forgotten about the program, for no particular reason either.
That's true. Well,
we're sort of reminiscing tonight, talking about Peanuts and Bonanza and High Chaparral.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Gunsmoke yet. I guess we won't.
Gunsmoke was my favorite.
Was it? I never watched a single episode of that program.
With Matt Dillon?
I haven't watched a single episode of I Love Lucy all the way through.
Really?
I did see a good part of one.
Really?
Yeah. Then I had to do something else. I've never watched a full episode of Gilligan's Island.
Really? Boy, you really are lacking in the finer arts.
Yeah, I have to say. Or Gomer Pyle's, whatever that show was.
USMC?
Yeah, it always confused me.
What about Mayberry RFD?
I always associate those programs with each other, but no, I never watched that one either.
Hmm.
I watched one episode of My Little Margie. It was so violently ill that I just couldn't even...
I don't think I've ever even seen any of it. How about Father Knows Best with Robert Young?
I used to watch bits of that for laughs, but I could never make it through a whole episode.
I used to like Robert Young.
Yeah. He sells coffee now.
Yeah. That's what happens. You go from Father Knowing Best to being a doctor to being a salesman for coffee.
Yes.
And he has to deal with competition like Cora.
That's right, and Mrs. Olson.
Mrs. Olson, yeah.
Ms. Olson.
Yeah.
So there are others, too, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. Hey, you know what I got in the mail today?
What's that?
I got a great big huge brochure about how detergents are made.
You did?
Yes, I did.
You sent away for that, though, didn't you?
You
called up for it.
Yeah, I was doing my laundry the other day.
Yeah.
And I really deserved it, too. It's been the first time in 6 or 8 months that I've done my laundry. And, No, not really. How come you didn't say anything about that?
Oh, well, I didn't want to embarrass you or anything.
Yeah,
try to ignore things like that.
I looked down at the bottom of the detergent package and said, if you have any comments or questions on this particular product, call our toll-free number. And toll-free numbers are the best kind in my book. So I looked. And I also had a couple other soaps or detergents down there. And they had, they were different ones, but they were made by the same people.
Uh-huh.
So this particular manufacturer makes, I believe, 12 different types of detergents.
And they compete with each other.
Yes, they do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How interesting.
It certainly is. But it was a very interesting process of how detergent is made, and I'll bring it in next week. You won't even be here next week.
I'll be in Washington, D.C., but I can talk to you about it over the phone like last year. We didn't talk about detergent last year, but we can this year.
That's true. Can we?
I think so. Anything's possible.
That's true. So, how's the nightlife down in Washington, D.C.? You were in Georgetown, right?
I was in Georgetown. Yeah, we did get ripped off at a French restaurant.
Right.
We probably
Charlie Backfish will never live that one down.
No, he won't. He won't. We'll probably do something similar this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe go for Indian cuisine.
Ooh,
or Turkish or something like that. But you can get ripped off in any nationality these days, especially in a city like Washington, D.C. In fact, why don't you go to an American place? We'll take you for a tourist. I'm serious.
That's true.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, why don't you go to a Mexican place?
Mexican? That has possibilities.
I had a nice Mexican lunch in Boston.
Yeah?
First time I was there.
That's about where you have to go to find one.
Yeah. Either that or Mexico.
I'm not so sure about Mexico anymore, but definitely Boston.
Perhaps Jamaica.
There's lots of things you can find in Jamaica.
We see the rockers
I hate songs that end that way, but, well, I like that song. From Synergy. Song is called Synergy, in fact. Larry Fast and Company. Came out in 1975, Mike.
Golly.
Yeah.
Which was at that Electronic Realizations for Folk... For rock orchestra.
Yeah. It's pretty good stuff. 1975, and that was quite a long time ago.
It certainly was. That's a whole 7 years ago.
Yeah. Longer than you might think. We heard from Philip Glass.
From his new album?
Yes.
We heard a song called Flow.
Flow.
And then before that, Mikey Dread.
With Rocker's Delight, extended play.
In a rub-a-dub style.
From the album called...
Beyond World War
Three. Yeah.
And it's almost three right now, in fact.
It is, but a couple more songs that we've played that... should let people know about. What else was there? There was Joe Gibbs and the Professionals with Facelift.
Which is the dub version of Shut Up Your Face.
From Dennis Walks and Lee Van Cleef, you know.
Oh.
And what did we start this whole mess off with? We started off with the Black Slate Band.
Oh, yes, Black Slate. With Boom, Boom from the album Rasta Festival.
Yeah, all here on the Voice of Long Island.
For WUSB,
Stony Brook.
It's about 4 minutes before three.
That's Mike Uhas over there.
Eric, you're there. You're not going to be here next week.
No, I'll be in Washington, D.C., but hey, that won't stop us from getting together. And
that's true. We're going to have a special guest up here, probably either here or on the phone, a gentleman from a group from trying to keep a radio station particularly the same format it is right now.
Okay, that sounds like a worthwhile pursuit.
Yeah, and it's for real, too. It's none of this fake junk.
No bogus things around here. Only the truth, nothing but the truth, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Voice of Long Island, stick with us.
Yeah.
That's a good slogan, don't you think?
And you might want to tune in to our individual shows. That's this week. You're on Thursday night at 10, right?
No. Tuesday night at 10. You're on Thursday night at 9.
Right. And we also air the tripods.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Around 10:15.
Around 10:15 or so. That's a catch-up series. In case you missed anything, we're kind of back
repeating.
A few months. Yeah. So, of course, you want to check out a lot of other programming on USB on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, bringing you all kinds of things from every perspective possible.
Except when the transmitter blows up.
Yeah, that doesn't happen all that often.
Oh, sure it does.
A couple of times a week, but I mean, that's, you know.
That's normal.
Shouldn't even mention it.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, all sorts of fun and interesting things are coming your way, so stick with USB as Friday night slowly turns into Saturday morning.
Good night.
And I won't see you next week, Mike, but have a good week anyway.
You too.
Friday. WUSB, Stony Brook. USB, Stony Brook.
I'm trying to explain.